Minnesota Reads on KUMD is supported in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We'd like to welcome Carolyn Holbrook this morning to the radio. She is the author of a book of essays called Tell Me Your Names and I Will Testify. Carolyn, good morning and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
A little bit nonplussed by the whole weather thing this morning. It completely threw me off. 80 degrees at this time of day in Duluth.
People. I like your scary movie suggestions. One of my daughters is a scary movie fan, and I'm going to tell her to watch the thing tonight.
It's a wonderful movie. Your dog lovers just have to close their eyes for about the first 10 minutes or so, or just fast forward past that part. But otherwise, it's cold. It takes place in Antarctica, and it's a great movie to watch when it's really, really warm outside.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We are chock full of life lessons here at KUMD in Northland Morning. So your book is a collection of essays. You have lived enough life for several people. Can we start with the title? The title is very evocative to me, but I'm interested to know what you meant by the title. Tell me your names and I will testify.
Well, the title comes from an excerpt from one of Lucille Clifton's poems. The title, well, she's walking through a cemetery and looking at the markers of unnamed slaves, and she just, you know, wants to know their stories, and she wants everyone to know their stories. And in the opening essay in my book, there is an ancestral guide who comes to speak to me and tells me that I have to tell the stories of our family. So for me, you know, being able to testify about my own story, the stories of my family members, and others who have come into my life for the years that I have been living is important. And so, you know, the title has to do with one telling one story and the stories of, you know, that surround them and encouraging others to tell their stories.
You know, you certainly aren't the first and probably won't be the last person who finds themselves getting ready to become an unwed mother at 16 in the Minnesota juvenile justice system. But I'm guessing that not a lot of people who would have known you then or met you then would have guessed that you would become, you know, one of the leading lights in the local literary scene and become the person and go on to do the things that you've done. Talk a little bit about your, without scooping your entire book for folks, but can you fill in a little bit of your backstory?
Well, yes, I was in the juvenile justice system when I was a young woman, around 16 through 18 years of age. And, you know, I just sort of got myself involved in, you know, things that were just were not, you know, good, to put it mildly. And also there's the fact that we lived in South Minneapolis in a neighborhood that was, the term that's used is in transition, but what it means is that there are a few black families moving in and white families fleeing. And we were, my siblings and I were of the black children in our school, and we were not treated with respect at all. We were not treated well. And I think I kind of rebelled against that, and, you know, I felt really misunderstood, and I think that I just kind of rebelled against that and got myself in trouble.
Well, you know, the expression is kind of a cliche, but there is obviously a measure of truth to it that hurt people hurt people. And when you hurt people constantly, daily, in a myriad of ways, from little things to big things, it really shouldn't be a surprise that they don't grow up to be healthy, well-adjusted individuals, in a sense. Mm-hmm. So at what point do you feel like your life, you began to kind of take the reins and take control, and talk about the role of storytelling in that, storytelling is something a little bit better than what we do in therapy, because what we do in therapy is just try to get it out, and it's ugly, and it involves crying, and yet storytelling is sort of a way to get those demons out, but also to make them beautiful in their own way, so that other people can hear the stories.
I'm a real advocate of therapists developing journaling circles within their practice. You know, there are many writers, myself included, who would be willing and able and want to, you know, help them develop and lead journaling circles because of the storytelling that's involved and because of the importance of, you know, digging deep into your being and, you know, bringing out the beauty. You know, I had even one when I was in high school and I was in the principal's office more than I was anywhere else. But my eighth grade English teacher saw something, you know, aside from the naughty kid who was always in the principal's office, and she encouraged me. She, you know, I wrote this awful little poem. I'll call it awful now because I'm a little older. You know, I know a little bit more about about writing. But back then, you know, I knew whatever I knew, as any eighth grade kid would. But she saw that, you know, there's something else in me. And even while I was, you know, involved in the juvenile justice system and then later married someone who was not very kind, her words stuck with me. I can't even tell you the importance of encouraging your students, even the ones that you don't think are worth much or have much to say or come from families that, you know, that you don't think are good families. Sometimes it only takes one or two people to, you know, to say a few words that will carry someone through their life experience. And, you know, because I've always been interested in writing, when I finally was able to come out of that marriage, you know, and came back home, I decided that, well, maybe it's time for me to learn how to write. But, you know, I was poor. I had, you know, I was left as a divorced woman with five children to raise on my own. And, you know, we didn't have any money. We were very poor. And at that time, you know, there weren't any classes available for someone who couldn't afford them. So, you know, I sort of created a creative writing program in the community center in my neighborhood. And again, it's only because the director of that community center encouraged me. I asked him if he'd be willing to offer a writing class, and he told me that if I could find a teacher, he would do it. And at that time, I had a home-based secretarial service as well, and I taught my kids how to type and proofread and all of that. And one day, one of my sons came home from school and said that there was a poet visiting his class. I didn't know anything then about Compass or about the writers in the school's programs, but he said there was a poet in his class, and he overheard her telling his teacher that she was looking for someone to type her manuscript, so he recommended me, and she came.
Oh, how marvelous.
And that woman, whose name is very well known, Natalie Goldberg, was the woman, and I asked her when she came to for me to type her manuscript if she'd be willing to teach a class at a community center, and she said yes. So she taught a six-week class, and, I mean, people from all over the Twin Cities came, and Lawrence, the director, you know, when I went back to him and told him that I found a teacher, he taught me how to write press releases. He taught me so much. I had no idea then that there was a field called arts administration. I just knew that I wanted, you know, someone to guide me, you know, to learn to write. And, you know, she then offered another six-week class and started introducing me to other teaching artists. And before I knew it, I had a whole program. And I was learning to write because I was able to take all the classes at no charge since I was the one who developed them.
There you go. Well, and of course, mm-hmm. just absorbing, just reading good writers, I think, gives you such an incredible foundation. How else could you learn all of those things? You could sit in class for forever. And the things that you can learn just from reading a variety of writers and excellent writers and learning what you like and what you don't like. Carolyn, your book has come out. It's so intensely personal. And it does talk about stories, and it does talk about an experience that is, we're learning more and more, is very different from the experience of white Minnesotans. Your book is coming out now at this particular point in our times, in history. In your mind, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, I think it's perfect timing.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, as we know, things are changing. They appear to be changing, and they, you know, it's definitely time for change. We, as Black people, have been, you know, for 401 years now, have been trying to get our point out that, you know, things are different for us than they are for white people, and, you know, people of color in general have been, you know, I don't mean to say that, you know, disparagingly, but, you know, people in the communities of color and indigenous people as well, you know, have been trying to get our point across. And now, you know, because of this very blatant and bold murder of a Black man by a police officer that was caught on camera by a 17-year-old kid, there's no way it can be denied anymore, period. And so I think that, you know, a book like mine that's coming out now at the time that people around the world are taking up the sword and saying enough is enough is, you know, a story like mine and others that are coming out give context to and sort of humanize and personalize the stories that, you know, that make it clear that, yes, things are different for us. And, you know, it's way past time for change.
Are you, as a as an arts administrator and a person of, who loves the written word, how does it feel to you to maybe walk into your local bookstore and see collections of books or even published reading lists where people have curated groups of books, lists of books, and said, white people, if you want to educate yourselves, here is a place to start?
That is so important, to have our books, you know, in the bookstores, have them where people can see them, have them visible. And yes, I do think white people should educate themselves rather than continuing to ask us what they should do, you know. There's just no reason why white people cannot, you know, find the material that they need to find out what they want to know about how they can, you know, make things better. You know, it's not, you know, just stop putting the onus on us to tell you, because the work, the material is out there.
There's a temptation to, there's a temptation to feel, I guess I've made this mistake myself, and I feel like I'm being educated and I'm understanding better why it was a mistake, but I feel that there's been a good intention on my part in the past to ask the individuals I know of color, what do you think, what can I do, what is this like, that kind of thing, because here is an entryway into a community through a person that I know. And we all gain entry into unfamiliar communities through the doorways frequently of somebody that we know. But I think we're starting to realize that, to ask one person to speak for everybody in that group is maybe not quite fair, comprehensive enough. Are we just not under, we're trying to be polite, we're trying to do the right thing, but are we just not getting all the nuance that we need?
I think you answered that question yourself. Yep.
little more nuance is really not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I am excited to talk with some people that I know about this idea. I'm excited to talk with you a little bit more about an idea. I have the sense that perhaps some of our new technology now that we're using because of the pandemic might be just the perfect thing to start or expand some of the journaling groups that you talked about. Mm-hmm. That there might be some new opportunities here with this technology and our I guess, the necessity of our learning how to use it and pushing ourselves a little bit beyond our comfort zones, and also the ability of people to attend book readings and discussions about books and classes about writing and all kinds of things that they might not have been able to attend before because they couldn't get in a car and drive.
Yeah.
Can you talk about some of the events that you have coming up surrounding this book, or are you still waiting to get things geared up a little bit?
And to your point, it does seem to be true that more and more people are accessing these virtual events, probably for the reasons that you mentioned. when you go to a book reading, there's a certain number of people who can attend. Well, that is before the pandemic, and now it's like zero who can attend in person. But now when you look at the registration lists or whatever people keep telling me, and I've seen it myself, that you see like twice, sometimes three times as many people who are attending these events. So what's coming up for me is that my book is actually going to be on the market on July 21st. My book launch, which will be virtual, is on August 12th at 4 o'clock. I have a reading and a discussion coming up on, let's see. I don't know if I can I speak to you on speakerphone? Because I have all my stuff on the phone.
You can. It doesn't sound as good, but we'll try to struggle through. Otherwise, we can certainly get up a link so that folks will have an idea of some of these virtual events and how to get in touch with you or your folks and find out more if they'd like to take part in these, because this is a wonderful opportunity for people. Carolyn, thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us this morning, and expect an email from me saying, hey, what about this and what about this? And here's a person that you might want to talk to about that. So.
Wonderful. And you can contact Heather Skinner at the U of M Press. She's their publicist, and she will have access to all of my events as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Carolyn. What a treat to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
Carolyn Holbrook is the author of a new book of essays called Tell Me Your Names and I Will Testify. We'll get some information up about those upcoming events and how to find her book on our website at KUMD.org.